Built on nothing less. Let's stand as we sing 394, The Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Go ahead and shake hands with one another as we hear a couple more stanzas.
Number 394
is where we're singing The Solid Rock. We're going to sing on the second stanza, When Darkness Veils His Lovely Face. 394, The Solid Rock.
When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. A solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
On the last,
when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Boy, there's an excitement at Temple Baptist Church tonight in there. And I thought it was people were coming to hear me preach, but we got an ice cream afterwards, and so I figured out why. Everybody's so excited and smiling, but hey, I'll take it, amen? And it's good to be here, and we're going fishing tonight. Talk about the fish gate. I'm going to ask Brother Chapman to come up and give us a little spill on the missions conference coming up, and then he's going to open us in prayer. Thank you, Brother Chapman.
Well, Mission Conference is just around the corner. Are you ready?
Amen.
I'm ready. And then I start on next year's, the Lord willing. But we have a good complement of missionaries coming. I think you'll enjoy them. I have the list here. I'll have to read it because my memory is not such that I can call them. We have Steve Muldoff coming. How many of you remember Steve from a few years ago? Amen. What a message he brought to us the last time he was here, right? So we're looking forward to Steve. He's working, he's Asian director for BIMI. He's been working in Papua New Guinea, passing out Bibles to schools there in Papua New Guinea, and with a lot of other individuals as well. And we thank God for him. Kerry Abbott's coming to be with us. He's our missionary to France, has been for a number of years, and he'll be exciting to see him again. And we have a new missionary, the Stalkop family. They're going to be going to the Muslim community in America and dealing with them about the Lord's, the need of the Lord in their hearts. And then we have the Rashid family going to West Africa. They're on deputation as well, looking for support from churches that are able to take them on. And we have the Kennedy family going to Nicaragua. In fact, they've already been to Nicaragua one service. I'll get it out in a minute. But we're excited about having them as well. Looking forward to Mission Conference. Plan on it. Be here. Come ready for God to do something in your heart for missions this coming year. If you're not giving to missions, you're missing out. It doesn't matter how much you give as long as you do what God wants you to do. If he tells you to give $1 a week, that's what God intends. If he tells you $100 a week, that's what God intends. So do what God intends for us to do to serve missions. But we have a mission field right here in Asheville, North Carolina. And we need to be reaching the people of Asheville. Sometimes it's difficult, it's hard, but yet it's what God intends. He said to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're looking forward to Mission Conference. Let's pray. Our Father, how gracious you are to us to give us the time that we have to serve you. Some, Lord, serve you a short period of time but are very effective. Others serve you, Lord, their whole lifetime and serve you, Lord, in whatever manner you call them to do. We thank you for the gifts that you've given to men and women to serve in the church and in the community and in the world. I ask you to help us to use that gift to please you, Heavenly Father, in all that we do and say. Your Son Jesus is the one that paid the price. There's nothing we can give to ourselves as credit, Lord. We have to give him all of the credit. And we thank you for salvation. Thank you for the future. Thank you for the past. And we can look back over the years and see your hand moving among people and see your hand moving in this church. I thank you for our pastor. Thank you, God, that you sent him our way. And I pray you would use him to the fullest. Help him, God, to be able to lead this church in a new pathway, in a way that would bring praise and honor and glory to yourself. Fill this auditorium with individuals and with those, Father, that need Christ as their Lord and Savior. For what you do for us tonight, we would thank you and ask you, God, just to continue to work and move among us. And we'd give you the thanks for it all. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mel. Appreciate very much the Missions Committee, headed up by the Chapmans and all those on it, and all the hard work that has already gone into getting ready for the Missions Conference. Miss Angie has a tremendous board. She does this most every year, but if you only come in and out that back entrance, you may not go out here too much, but I encourage you, if you go out here, check a look in the foyer, right, the big bulletin board right in front of the church office. She already has all the pictures of the missionaries that are coming. We have three new families that have never been here before, but if you'd like to sort of put a face to the name and already begin praying, I encourage you to go out that way, take a look at the families coming. It has a little bit of a string attached to a map, show you exactly where their mission field is, and appreciate her doing that. And speaking of mission field at home, we have, of course, the Mountain State Fair coming up. And we have some new folks here, but that's held at the Ag Center right there off airport, right across from the airport. And I think this is their 25th year for doing that there. And so that runs about 10 days, takes up two different weekends. And as I mentioned already, the Jacksons, I believe, are already at another fair It looks like they might be the only ones from Amazing Grace working that. So there's some long days. Weekends, it's from 9 in the morning till about 9 or 10 at night. And you can imagine doing that every day. And so they could use quite a bit of help. We've already got some names I see signed up here already. And most spots have name for two people. You could do three, but it's recommended two. If you had a little one with you or a young person, that probably would be fine. But there's really two is ideal for the booth. And so we've got some ladies already signed up here that need someone to go with them. Maybe you could look on the list and say, hey, I can go with this lady and go for a two-hour time slot. And we've got some plenty of open spots. And so that runs from Friday, September 7th, through the following Sunday. Obviously, Sundays, the Jacksons tend to do a lot of that, but there may be some times in here where you're not working, or you can find someone in the church and say, hey, I need a partner. Would you be willing to come and work a time? I signed up for this. And so we'll have this. We'll put that right here in the front tonight afterwards. We'd love to have everybody in the church, if you're able to, sign up for at least one two-hour slot, share the gospel at the Mountain State Fair, and keeping that in mind. Keeping in mind with Missions Conference, I know that I think I heard that Miss Charlotte needs some extra help in the nursery. Obviously, for Missions Conference, we have some of the missionaries have children, young children. We've got quite a few extra young children, which has been awesome here at Temple. But when the more children in the nursery, the more workers we need. And so we can't just keep adding children and not add workers. So if you're out there and you're maybe not on a regular basis in the nursery, you could say, hey, I can at least be an extra person for the Missions Conference. Obviously, we have a nursery each night there, and so our goal is not to have the same people in all the time, so you're out of the services, but if we can get a number of workers that could volunteer to be in there, I know that'd be a big help. Please see Miss Charlotte if you think you can help or you're not on that regular schedule. Well, again, we're glad to see each of you here tonight. We've got lots going on. It's a busy time of year. Tomorrow, first day of school, and I think it starts at 8:30. Is that correct, Brother Washburn? All right, so that now it's half day tomorrow, so I think we'd all love if every day was a half day, but tomorrow is a half day, and so just by the time school starts to set in, you're done. It's a good way to get back into things after the summer, but full days starting Tuesday, all right? So be a lot of children, a lot of folks coming in tomorrow on campus, so be praying. I pray for all the teachers, all the faculty and staff, and I would encourage you in this area, perhaps, I don't know, maybe some of you have done this in the past, but perhaps some of you that maybe you'd say, well, I don't have children in the school anymore, or that was years ago, and I'm not really involved with the school, and you know, you certainly appreciate the school, but really you maybe say, I just don't have any reason to be in here during the week. Perhaps you could take it upon yourself. The Lord would lay on your heart maybe to be a prayer partner. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every class, every elementary class or every high school class had one or two folks in the church that say, hey, I'm going to take on that class and be a prayer partner. Maybe two ladies would say, hey, we're going to take on third grade. We'll pray for third grade all year, pray for the teacher, get a list of the students, and see what God can do. Maybe a husband and wife say, we'll take on the eighth grade. We're going to pray for eighth grade all year. You might say, I don't even know who's in the class. I don't get around here a whole lot. But that'd be a blessing, and perhaps the Lord would lay that on your heart, and you say, you know what, we can come alongside and be a prayer partner. We may not be able to come to a lot of the activities or ball games, but we understand that's a ministry of the church, and we would love to be someone that prays for that class regularly, lets that teacher know someone's praying, and that teacher can share special praises and prayer requests. You know, if that's something you think you'd like to do or take it upon yourself, you could certainly see Brother Washburn or see one of the teachers and just say, hey, you can count on me. I'll be backing you up this year, excited. Maybe they come and say, I've got some students I don't think are saved. Could you keep that in special prayer as you pray for the chapels and the Bible classes throughout the year? So be praying again for the schools. It starts tomorrow, fresh at 8:30. One other thing we'll put up here in the front, and that is our annual, we do usually a semi-annual church cleaning sign-up sheet. And right now it looks like August. Of course, we're in the middle of August right now. August is full, but we don't have many names for September and October. And so one of the things we do is just to be able to sign up, different families sign up. Takes anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. I don't think it takes, unless you're just by yourself, takes a little bit longer. But if you're a family or you've got a couple people helping, it's really pretty simple to do the church. And you could come in on a Friday night if that's easier for you after work, Saturday morning, Saturday evening. If you don't have a key, you can see one on church staff or faculty staff. And it's very simple. But appreciate many of you who do sign up. Again, our goal is not to have the same people having to fill in every day. If we could just get, you could do it once or twice a year, that would be sufficient. And if you've never done it before, and it's got some guidelines here, you can see Miss Angie, others that have helped before. But I'll put that on the front as well. So we'll have two sign-up lists on the front. Mountain State Fair. Now, you may not be ready to sign up for that yet, but maybe you could just take a picture of the dates and the times, sort of look at your schedule, and then, of course, the church cleaning list. And if we could fill those things out, that would be a blessing.
All right, 392 in your hymnals. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We're going to stay right in the 390s in all of our hymns tonight. 392 will be our next hymn. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand as we sing. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 392.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
And on the last,
I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
All right, thank you so much for being faithful in your time today. Let's be faithful with our treasures as we have an opportunity tonight to give. Brother Rocky, how about leading us in prayer as we take our offering? Amen. You may be seated.
397 in your hymnals. 397, trusting Jesus. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. I think many times we trust in ourselves, we trust in our finances, we trust in anything else but Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is all. He's the only person we need to trust. Let's go ahead and stand as we sing 397, Trusting Jesus, on the first stanza.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all, trusting as a
Thank you for your singing. You may be seated.
Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth, armed with the sword of salvation, join in the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example, his life for others he gave. Give him your Master, give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Fully surrender each part. Give and to you shall be given God his beloved. sets on gave, gratefully seeking to serve him. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above, laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have.
Great job, fellas. All right, Nehemiah chapter 3. We're going fishing tonight. Nehemiah chapter 3. And this morning we talked about the sheep gate. Tonight we're at the fish gate, Nehemiah chapter 3. Yes, school is tomorrow. Aren't you excited? I think Brother Thomas and Brother Boyer are excited to be able to keep their facial hair and not have to shave, and they're excited for that tomorrow. I was trying to be an encouragement to someone and told them they had a nice mustache and just trying to be encouraging, and you know, that lady really got mad at me. And let's go to Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 3. Thank you for being faithful tonight. Exciting times at Temple Baptist Church. I'm excited to be here. We had a good morning, a good service this morning. We're looking forward to a good service this evening. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1, but the fish gate did the sons of Hasenaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Let's read that again. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasenaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Lord, thank you so much for the book of Nehemiah. Thank you for the word of God. And thank you for your word that helps us, guides us, Lord, as we preach tonight. Lord, speak through me. Lord, use me as an empty vessel to preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And we did look at the sheep gate tonight. It symbolized the Lamb of God. Amen. Remember, John saw Jesus coming, and he could have said the Savior, he could have said the Son of God, but he used the words Lamb of God. We've talked about this morning Abraham and Isaac and how that God provided himself a lamb. Talked about that, how the Lamb of God is here, and we talked about the sheep gate, how the sheep gate, they had doors, but they didn't have what? Locks on the doors. Isn't it wonderful that it's whosoever? Amen. And we're so glad anybody can come in and accept the Lamb of God. And we talked about the two towers that were sanctified with that gate. And one tower meant 100, and the other tower meant God's favor. And we're so thankful that God, just like the shepherd, would leave the 99 to go after that one. Amen. And I'm so glad for the grace of God through the Lamb of God. Now we come to the fish gate, and it's a very important gate. And you can probably guess what happens at the fish gate, right? It's not where people eat fish, okay? I just want to make sure you understand that. Although, I think the fish gate would be a great name for a seafood restaurant. I mean, you would agree with me. I'd eat there. Fish gate is where a lot of the commercial fishermen or fishermen would bring in the fish. And either sell or get the fish or put in. That was where the fish would come into the city. And it was an important gate there because there was a lot of traffic. And people have to eat, right? And being there right next to the Mediterranean and then, again, the Jordan River, in between that, a lot of fish came through that gate. A lot of people came through that gate. It was a very important gate. But what's most important about this gate is what it symbolizes. And it symbolizes, the gate symbolizes our soul winning efforts. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1 talking about our soul winning efforts and talking about the fish gate, one of the greatest fishing stories in the Bible takes place in Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done that, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Isn't it something when God is in the middle of something, there's a multitude? Isn't that great? When God's in the, we want God in the middle of our missions conference. We want God in the middle of our soul winning efforts. We want God there. We want Him present. We want Him in the middle. Why? Because He gets results. A great multitude of fishes. And then their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the one ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships. Both the ships. So that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. As we look at the fish gate, I want to also use this as a text. It's symbolizing us in our soul-winning efforts as a fisher of men. And here the one time Jesus calls not only disciples, but calls you and me as well to be fishers of men. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 1 through 11, I want to look at their preparation. If once, the first time Jesus lays eyes on them, what are they doing? They are doing what? They're cleaning nets. How many of you ever been fishing before? Huh? How many of you ever been fishing before and you liked it? Because I had some of the ladies' hands go up. I didn't know if it was my husband dragged me out. He said it was a date. You know, how many of you know that it's not just putting a worm on the hook and throwing it in the water? There's some preparation that goes along with it, right? I mean, when you're done fishing, there's some cleaning up to do. There's some things that we have to do, some following up, some different preparation for the next day, for the next fishing trip. Even before then, before you go out, there's some preparation that has to be done. We can learn a lot about winning souls from these fishermen. They did not misuse their resource. When they were done fishing all night, how many of you have done anything all night? How many of you have worked all night? I remember teaching in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We had just had Aaliyah Grace Creed, and she was just a baby, and I was on one salary as a teacher, and so I would stock at Bilo in the evenings, and when I got off Bilo, I would go teaching at 7:30, and I'd get off work at 6 a.m. and go to. I didn't feel like teaching at 7:30. It wasn't a time when you do something all night, when you work all night, it's in the morning, it's not time to work again, right? They've been fishing all night. And they said, look, we've got to stop. We've got to take care of our nets. They didn't misuse the resource. The nets had to be ready to go for the next day. That was important. I enjoyed taking the teachers out to Cracker Barrel. I enjoy going to Cracker Barrel no matter who goes with me, amen? But I enjoy taking the teachers out to Cracker Barrel. We took the teachers out to Cracker Barrel on Friday. I got to see the teachers put their hair down a little bit. I enjoyed talking with the teachers, and I went from table to table, and I watched as at every table, Mrs. Buck took out a track and made sure the waitress got a track. And I saw Miss Barb take out a track. And she said, I got a track. I got to make sure. What was that doing? She was using her resources. She was using her net. She had it ready. There was preparation there. You ever been somewhere you just, I don't have. Anybody got a track? Huh? Let me ask you something. Are you ready to go fishing at any time? Are you ready to fish? Huh? I'm talking spiritual. I'm talking winning people to Christ. Are you ready to go fishing? It was exciting to see someone ready and have that net ready to go and cast out. That's an exciting thing. There's preparation that's involved. There's also knowledge that's involved. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Now, can you catch the spirit of Peter here? He's got a net. He's cleaning. They've been out all night, and here someone says, okay, come on, let's go out and cast again. I need you to go out and cast again. Now, this comes right after he asked them to go out in the boat and preach. So he's using their boats to preach on, and then he asked them if they'll go out and catch some fish. Oh, we've already tried this. It's a bad spot. You know what Peter said? Nevertheless, we'll do it. We're going to do it anyways. Now, many might say this is disobedient spirit, but Peter was very knowledgeable about fishing. He made sure he had confidence in the tools that they had. I like the account Matthew has. Matthew 4:19, it says, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Think about that for a second. Jesus Christ says, follow me. Look, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to prepare you. I'm going to show you how to become fishers of men. You're leaving your jobs. How many of you have a job? How many of you believe you're good at your job? Huh? Yeah. What makes you good at your job? Preparation and what? The knowledge or being in that job, knowing what to do in that, right? And these guys have left their nets, left their job, and went with Christ. They're learning something new, and they had to be prepared. There had to be some teaching here. And Jesus said, watch this. Just follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. There's preparation involved, but I love the proclamation. Jesus was telling them something. Peter was saying, it would take a miracle for us to catch fish now. This is going to be a miracle, right? Jesus, we've already been out there. Here's what he's saying. We've already been out there, that spot. We know when the fish bite. We know when the fish are coming. We know that when the schools are floating by. We got this, Lord. But it would take a miracle if we were to go out there and fish now. I remember the story of John Wesley. And John Wesley was robbed, and as he was returning from a service one night, he was robbed, and the robber, the bandit that robbed him, was running away. And Wesley is caught. I said, stop! I have something more to give you. That's going to stop a robber, isn't it? And surprised, the robber paused. He said, my friend, said Wesley, you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The thief stopped and paused and thought about that for a second and then ran off. It wasn't until years later when Wesley was greeting people after a Sunday service when a man, a stranger, approached him and said, I want you to know I'm the man that robbed you.
I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. What was Wesley doing? He was fishing. How many of you, when getting robbed, would think about, oh, wait a minute, I got to make sure this bandit is saved? Huh? I'll tell you what I'm thinking about, right? I don't know if he's saved or not, but he's going somewhere. Wesley took the time when probably none of us, not many people, would fish or spread the gospel and cast their net. Wesley did. I believe that was what Jesus was proclaiming. It may not be your time. Pastor Creed, I'm tired. Cast the net. Pastor Creed, I've been at this person, and I've been at this person, I've been at this person. I've been witnessing to this person. I've already tried. Listen, I've already planted the seed, Pastor Creed, and God only tells us to plant the seed. And once we plant the seed, it's on him. So I'm good. No, 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 no. When God says cast the net, we cast the net. Amen. We like to plant the seed and cross that off the checklist instead of having a burden for somebody's soul. Peter said, I've been there before, but I'll go again. We ought to have that kind of spirit. We'll go again. We'll cast again. Lord, at your will, we'll cast again. God tells us to go. We go. Let me say this. You'll never waste your time soul winning. Now, if you weren't listening when I just said that, I want you to listen. Are you ready? Everybody listening. We got this? Everybody paying attention? You'll never waste your time soul winning. Ever. Ever. I like what Hudson Taylor said. He said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. Are you obeying the Great Commission? Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power. I love that. Ye shall receive power. Now he's talking to the disciples. He's talking to these men, these women that are the 500, these people that are about to start a church. He says, you're going to receive power. Was that a sure thing? Oh, absolutely. When Jesus says, ye shall, that's a sure thing. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye just as sure as you're going to receive power, ye shall be witnesses. Okay, hold on. Let me say that again because I didn't get an amen on it. Just as sure as you're going to receive power, you ought to surely be witnesses. And we ought to be witnesses, amen? Casting our nets. Casting our nets. There was preparation. There was proclamation. Jesus Christ said, go out and cast your net. But I want you to know there's a price. There's a price. Look at verse 4. It says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. You see that S? Many of you men who preach have preached this sermon. The nets versus the net, right? We see in verse 4 it says nets. In verse 6 it said net, didn't it? Can you put yourself in Peter's shoes here? Okay, Lord, we've already been out there. It's been all night. Now we've already washed our nets. But we're going to go. Now watch this. I can imagine Peter sitting around these guys saying, what are we going to do? We've already been out. We're tired. This guy wants us to go out and fish again. We've been fishing all night. We're done. We've done all the preparation for tomorrow. And if we go out and cast this net, if we cast these nets again, we're going to have to bring them back. And we're going to have to wash these nets again. Peter, just tell him no. We're tired. Just tell him no. Can you imagine it? And you imagine Peter saying, well, look, what if we just take one net? What if we just go one net? We take one net out. Instead of all the, and then we, when we come back, we only have to clean one net. How's that sound? Sounds about how it went. Can you imagine when they got out there and those fish started coming in? We should have brought the other nets. Hey, when it comes to saving for vacation or going on vacation, guess what we do? We bring all the nets, don't we? How about soul winning? You just take one net. Hey, when it comes to our jobs and when it comes to working, boy, we're taking all the nets and we're casting all the nets. What about soul winning? How many nets you taking with you? Oh, and it comes to family, and we're spending time with family, and boy, we love our family, and I want you to know I'm a family man. I love my family, but how many nets are you casting to your family? What about soul winning? When it comes to things and items and buying things and things that you like and things that you want, you save up that money, and boy, you're casting all these nets, and you're putting all these nets out there. But what about when it comes to soul winning? You say, Pastor Creed, we're a missions-minded church, praise God. Pastor Creed, we're a Bible-preaching church, praise God. Let me tell you something, we can be all that, but we need to be a soul-winning church. We need a church that takes all our nets, all our resources, the whole body of Christ, involved in soul winning, involved in fishing, involved in casting the nets. This fish gate was important. It's an important gate. Can you see the church in these gates? Well, it starts with the Lamb of God. You can't be in this church unless you're saved. And once you're saved and part of a local church, it's time to get working on that fish gate. You see how that works? There's a price to pay. I hear all kinds of excuses for not soul winning. I do so much other things in the church, Pastor Creed. I just leave soul winning up to somebody else. May I say this? I want everybody to hear me. It is everybody's responsibility to soul win. If you're leading in the nursery, I want you soul winning. If you're a Sunday school teacher, I want you to be a soul winner. If you're cleaning up the church, if you're vacuuming, if you're cleaning the windows, praise God. Thank you for it. Thank you for all that you do, but I want you to be a soul winner. If you're singing in the choir, thank you. You sounded great. I want you to be a soul winner. You say, well, Pastor Creed, I help in the youth. Praise God. Be a soul winner. Oh, Pastor Creed, I'm a teacher in the school. Praise God. Thank you so much. Be a soul winner. Why? Because this church is not going to cast just one net. We're going to take all the nets. We may have to clean all the nets, but we're taking all the nets. Praise God. Oh, Pastor Creed, I give my tithe, and I give my tithe so the staff can go soul winning. Cast your nets. Oh, Pastor Creed, I give to missions, and I give my money to missions, and the missionaries, they soul win, so I'm part of that. Mm-mm. Praise God, thank you for your gift to the missions. Thank you for being involved in Great Commission. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says you need to start in Jerusalem. Asheville is your Jerusalem. Cast your nets. Oh, Pastor Creed, I'm just not as healthy as I used to be. I want everybody to do something for me. Are you ready? In. Out. You have breath. You have a voice. You have hands. Cast a net. Cast your nets. Well, you say, Pastor Creed, I'm just not that confident. I'm not that confident. I need to learn how to. I don't know how to teach somebody or tell somebody. And frankly, I'm scared to tell somebody that I'm not confident in doing it. Let me tell you something. It's okay. If you've been saved for 40 years and you still are not confident, that's fine. Let's get confident. You say, Pastor Creed, how do I get confident? Do it. How do you get confident in any job? You do it. Amen. Well, I don't want to make a mistake. You're going to make a mistake. Guess what? You got flesh. We're going to make mistakes. But God's going to bless and God's going to honor when you cast out the nets. Let's cast out those nets. There's going to be a price that comes when it comes to finding a job. We do. When it comes to going to vacation, we find an opportunity to cast out the nets. But how many times are we casting out our nets for soul winning? Soul winning is work. Soul winning is work, isn't it? How many of you know that? How many have been soul winning is work, especially in the summertime? How many of you have been door to door in the summertime in the summer heat? I remember as a teenager, we used to wear ties and suits and jackets, and we used to go in the summertime, and boy, I was so hot. You say, why did you go in the summertime? Because every time I went in the summertime, they'd take me to 7-Eleven and give me a big Slurpee. And how many of you are a fan of the wild cherry Slurpees? I could use one right now. But you know what? We never wasted our time. We burned some calories, praise God, but we never wasted time. Why? We're obedient to God. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 3. We see right in the middle of that verse, they who also laid the beams. Laid the beams. That's something different at this gate than all the other gates. They laid beams. You ever built a house or built a garage? One of the most worrisome things to do is set those beams and get those beams in place. And I can imagine these are not as big as those beams, but they probably were pretty heavy. And back in those days, beams were probably a little bit more difficult to come about. And so getting those beams and putting those beams in place, and there was something they had in mind. And as I studied this out, here's what I thought about. This was one of the most used gates. Did you hear that? This was one of the most used gates in Jerusalem, the Fish Gate. Temple Baptist Church, do we need beams at our Fish Gate? Do we use our Fish Gate? Are we casting our nets? I heard of a story. It was on a dark and stormy night when the waves were rolling, and they were rolling pretty high like mountains. And there was a ship out there, a boat that was rocking and plunging right near the Cleveland Harbor. The captain yelled out, and he said, are you sure that this is Cleveland? And he was seeing only one lighthouse. Quite sure, replied the pilot of the boat. Where are the lower lights? Looks like they've gone out, sir. Can you make the harbor? Pilot replied, we must or we'll perish, sir. After about 20 minutes of guiding that boat, they crashed among those rocks and perished. That lighthouse keeper decided not to turn on those lights that evening. I'm sure he might have had a good idea. But it was his job to rescue the perishing. How are your lights? Are they burning? How's your fish gate? How are your nets? Are we soul winning? Are we casting out our nets like we ought to? Are we presenting the gospel like we should. I want to challenge you this evening. Are you ready? If you hadn't listened, I want you to listen up now. As I'm preaching, I pray that God has put someone on your heart to talk to about Jesus. Now, I'm talking to teenagers. I'm talking to teachers. I'm talking to workers. I'm talking about everybody, laymen. I'm talking to everybody. I pray God has put on your heart one person. One person. Maybe you need to call that person. Maybe you need to go see that person. Maybe you'll see that person tomorrow. But God has put on your heart one person. And here's what I want to do. I want to saturate that one name, that one person, in prayer. Would you? Would you pray for that perishing person? That person that's lost. Person that needs the Lord. And would you cast out your nets this week to that person? I want to challenge you to go fishing this week. I want to challenge you to use our fish gate. Lord, we love you. And we thank you so much for the fish gate. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to spread your gospel. I pray we do so with passion and with compassion. Lord, we're about to have an invitation. We're giving it to you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there's anybody here who say, Pastor Creed, if I were to die today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. So, Pastor Creed, that's me. I don't know that for sure if I die this evening, would you pray for me? I don't know that for sure. I'm raising my hand. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I would like to pray for you. Say, that's me, Pastor Creed. I mean, would you say, Pastor Creed, I know 100% that I'm going to heaven. I'm raising my hand. I'm saved. Nice and high. If that's you, you're saved. You know you're saved. Amen. Amen. You know what you just did? You raised your hand to this question. How many of you know you're responsible to go fishing? You just raised your hand to give you that you're saved. You ought to be raising your hand now. Amen. Amen. Would you cast your nets? Would you use the fish gate? There's that name in your mind, in your heart. There's that person that you've got a burden to be saved. Well, Pastor Creed, I've already planted a seed. Let's pray for that seed. Let's pray for that person. And let's cast some more nets. May I challenge you this evening to come to this altar and pray for that one soul. So, Pastor Creed, I don't know anybody. Maybe I don't know anybody that's saved. You may not. That's not saved. Maybe you need to pray for God to give you a divine appointment this week with somebody that needs the gospel. Would you pray for that? May we be a soul-winning church. May be a church that preaches the gospel, not just in these walls, but in our community. May that be true. Have thine own way, have thine own way. 485. We're going to stand in a minute. The altar is going to be open. If God spoke to you, you'll come. Lord, thank you. We give you this invitation. You bless it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 485. Let's stand.
Have thine own way.
Are you ready to tell others about Jesus?
Make me after thy will.
Is there somebody that's on your heart?
While I am waiting.
Would Would you come and pray for that person?
Yielded and still.
Would you talk to God about that person?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Would you agree with me that this city
Touch
needs Christ?
Me and try me.
Would you agree with me that this city needs
Master
fishermen?
Today.
Preach Christ.
Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence.
Others are doing business with God. How about you?
Humbly
maybe God spoke to your heart.
Bow. Have thine own way.
Thank you so much for being here this evening. I hope that challenge sticks with you this week because God spoke to me quite a bit while I was studying. And we need to be soul winning, having that burden for Christ and for others. What a great opportunity. Amen. We have an opportunity here. I talked to Brother Jackson about this. Well, he has a burden for those people at the fair. Real burden. Here's what he said. He says, you know, every year we have other churches. We have to have other churches to step up. He said, but boy, I'd like to be able to rely and depend on Temple Baptist Church to take this bull by the horns and see some people saved. We do have some, but I pray that we can have every line filled with some of our names. We're going to put it up front, right down here. Let me challenge you to come put your name down sometimes. You may need to wait. I'm going to challenge you as a church. Let's back him up. Let's this is a burden that Brother Jackson has. This is a burden that we ought to have. Thank you for those that put your name on here. Let's continue. Let's put our names on here. And let's continue to cast our nets. What a great opportunity we have to do that. It's good to see Brother Matt Templeton here this evening. And so thankful for him. We've been getting some bids for the air condition up in the gym. Can I get a praise the Lord? Praise God for that. And Matt's been helping us and doing that and helping us. And then we're looking at getting some of these some bathrooms back here, and God's been working in that direction. But Brother Matt, why don't you come on up? Or you can do it from right there. Why don't you lead us in prayer as we dismiss? And also, don't forget, we have ice cream and the pounding over here in the old auditorium. And you can go ahead. We do pray for ice cream, right? We need to ask the blessing on ice cream. We'll go ahead and do that. Thank you so much, Matt.